AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
The keenest pleasures are not intellectual, nor are they always moral.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. We are your home for the Dodgers. A big thank you to David Vassay. He will be along for a short half-hour Dodger talk from 7 to 7:30. Alex Verdugo will be his guest. Most suspect he will make the big he will make the club out of spring training.
Well, 25 minutes with David Vassay is not going to hurt either. Verdugo's chances go way up.
Darn right they do.
When he nuzzles up to the listeners on Dodger Talk at 7 o'clock, and then we got UCLA, Oregon State. I have submitted my coaching candidate, not three, one guy. I put him out there, and I have been met by ridicule.
There's not been ridicule.
And I've been bullied.
There's not been bullying.
You won't even say the guy's name right. It is Mick Cronin of the University of Cincinnati, who humiliated Steve Alford's UCLA team a little bit earlier in the year. And Matt, to back me up, I got a text
from
on the secret textoso line from a listener.
Well, that settles it.
Sold
it
out does. To Chevy.
I think you'll like this, though. This comes from a listener. I value the listeners.
Clearly.
I sat behind Cronin on a Needle D from Austin to Cincy last summer. He ordered a double Bushmills on the rocks. And he was reading a James Patterson book. I endorse your endorsement, P. Money? Eat a wiener.
I am a little hungry, actually. Wiener Schnitzel is across the street.
It is. And
Adam
is
here.
We sent Matt to Wiener Schnitzel not long ago. Don McLean and Tracy Murray, who do know who Mick Cronin is, and a lot of other coaches.
I do appreciate a double Bushmills on a Needle D.
Well, come on. And an Irishman named Mick? An Irish
bald-headed Irishman
bald,
who wears
little Irishman
pattern suits
named Mick, who's all fiery and mean like Ben Howland. Come on. This is the guy.
Does he really want to leave Cincinnati for UCLA,
hey,
though?
We gave him Puig. We get Cronin.
I love Blue.
Straight up.
Contract year for me. Our guy's got to win. And Blue is my color.
Don McLean and Tracy Murray will
go
be
King
along.
Go King goes.
Go King goes. But Don McLean and Tracy will be along to whether to either poo-poo that
or
say, hey, I like what you're talking
like
about.
It.
Or hit Tim Cates with the Texas Tech guy, Beard. Not a chance.
Not happening. Oh, Gottlieb him down.
A lot of people are saying that about Musselman, too. No chance. Not non-starter. They say Mo Austin don't like him or some one of those weird things.
Oh,
like
really?
That. Who knows? We'll see how it all plays out. Two big experts coming on to discuss it. And Matt will have three things Thursday in the final hour. And we will talk NFL football as the well, the jockeying of putting a roster together.
Can't wait, P. Free agency is upon us. Franchise tags all weekend long.
I love it.
Refresh, 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 yeah. Refresh, refresh. All those Twitter feeds.
Got my grease board downstairs.
Jay Glazer.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Sheffy, Locke and Fora. All those dudes with the great information.
Painful.
Our friend Ian Rappaport, who just joined us.
Great guy. We're going to have Lance Romance on at 5 o'clock. He's got PMS prize packs to give away, so you can start thinking of whatever your problem is. 866-987-2-5-7. But let's get it cracking with a number of the day.
Here's my number.
Number of the day.
Today's number is 13, Matt. I got a couple baseball stories here for you. But all baseball right. Uniform news, Matt. The Padres team store at Petco started selling briefly yesterday.
Oh, someone messed up.
The Manny Machado number 13 jersey, and people were freaking out, lining up all over the area where we have done a show right by Petco Park before, and they had to pull it because the trade is still yet to be official. I mean, it's official.
And he hasn't signed his contract
yet. It's going to be fine, but they had to pull that jersey back. Petco Park put him out there and then took him back. Nice deker there, Fathers, but a little bit of an embarrassment.
If you're walking around town with a Machado jersey,
if you got one,
you bought it Petco.
If you got one, woo, you're a G.
You ain't taking that off. You're getting free drinks.
What if he never signs?
You're telling the tale.
What if his leg fell off in like an anaconda attack?
Or what if his brother-in-law's like, hey, man, White Sox ain't going to pay me if you don't come here. I need you to get out
and
here.
He shreds the contract and signs with the Sox
because
Williams is acting all butthurt. I could see that happening. Probably not. But if you have one of those early Machado jerseys in San Diego, good on you.
And by the way, if you want to fault the folks that run the team shop at Petco Park, they have not had anything to do for the last 5 years.
Hey,
so
Hosmer.
Forgive their
Hosmer
excitement.
Hosmer jerseys last year, Matt.
Appreciate Hosmer, but I don't think the city of San Diego was lining up outside the team store to pick up their Hosmer.
Yes.
They're definitely doing it for Machado. So it's a manager of that store that's like, our numbers year to year are going to be off the charts.
Everybody's going to want that 13 Machado.
No
corrections
question.
And retractions. I'm sorry.
Corrections and retractions.
Free agency signing. It's not a trade. I don't know what I said.
You said trade.
Whatever. Now, Matt.
That's the thing. People, whatever.
I did figure
same
out.
Same thing.
I did figure out why Giancarlo Stanton's not the richest, because it was an extension.
Right, extension.
Not
a free agent.
A free
deal.
Agency signing. But it's all some way so everybody can feel good about their. Yours is the best. No, yours,
congratulations.
Giancarlo.
Congratulations. Biggest free. It's going to last for all of a week.
In other news, Bryce Harper, also a free agent, remains unsigned. Phillies are confident. David Vasse is confident in the Phillies. But the Sox were confident, too.
I'd love to get a comment from the White Sox about how they feel if they don't land Bryce Harper either. I'm not going to take my sunglasses off because I'm so angry.
In other news about things that are not happening, Bryce Harper, not signed. Clippers, not playing tonight.
Tomorrow.
San Diego Chicken Ted Giannoulis not in talks to return to Padres games, even though this would be the time.
Machado.
If there was ever a time to strike while the iron is hot, strike the hammer.
Now, we did the story, I believe, a while ago. Are they bringing back the Browns this year, or is that next year that the Padres are going back to their brown and gold color scheme?
I do not know.
Because that would probably make sense to wait a year, get all the people to buy the Machados in the old blue,
the blue and
color
white
scheme.
That's what they were selling.
And then next year, you get them again with the Browns.
Padres uniforms. But I would love to see the San Diego Chicken come back. Like, if everything's really, yeah, they still look blue to me. Oh, here's the Browns. Padres reveal new uniforms for All-Star season. Is this year the All-Star game in San Diego?
I don't know.
Well, they got these brown unis.
Anyway. I thought they were shifting back to them full time, that they were just kind of deciding what the 2020 season.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Padres likely to bring back the brown unis, crap brown, in 2020, team chairman says. So you sell all those Machados.
Smart.
And then you hit them with another Machado.
Now you need your brown.
Also, the Dodgers tweeted out today that they will honor the great Don Newcomb, who passed away Tuesday at the age of 92, with a 36 patch on the iconic Dodger uniform this season, which is a nice gesture. On Twitter, as you said, Matt, a lot of calls, of course, to retire the number 36 completely, and a lot of Hall of Fame talk.
Wouldn't
as
make
well,
sense, right?
As people want Newcomb in the Hall of Fame. Shame that he wasn't in there in his lifetime. Big shame.
Exactly right.
It is time for the word of the day.
He heard me with his words.
The word of the day.
The word of the day is brought to you by the Clippers. Enjoy sweet savings on all Clippers March home games. No taxes, no fees. Visit clippers.com/love. Use the promo code LOVE. Your word of the day.
LeBron James.
The Lakers are back in action tonight.
Oh, he's going to do it now. He's intense now.
Activated. Intensity. Playoff intensity level, according to LeBron James, has been activated. But the schedule does them little favor. The Lakers are three games back of the Clippers. They have 25 games left. The Clippers just 23. So technically, they're two games back in the loss column. The Clips have 27 losses. The Lakers 29. The two teams still play one another twice. They split the first two. So if one of the two teams can sweep the final two contests, you only need to tie the record to get in on that head-to-head tiebreaker, which means, P, something I know you love to do, and that's play it on paper. If you want to play this out on paper, the Lakers
doesn't really end up like that.
Need to win three more games than the Clippers to get in. It's not like, hey, you guys got to play even. You know, Lakers got to go 17-8. The Clippers got to go, whatever, 15-8, and all as well.
The Kings are down there too, right?
Yeah, Kings are ahead of them by two games as well. No, the Lakers have to win more than these other teams, and specifically the Clippers. I noticed the Vegas odds are out, and the Lakers are not favored to make the playoffs right now.
No, I saw that. But that was before LeBron said...
announced that he was activating playoff intensity, which, look, as much as I want to laugh about it, because it's a ridiculous thing to say, it matters. And we've seen it matter in Cleveland, and we've seen it matter in the playoffs. He is that good. He's arguably the greatest player in the world. And if he decides he is not going to take it easy on defense and conserve himself for the playoffs, then yeah, sure, they can win a bunch of games. But if you look at the schedule, clearly the Clippers are not trying to tank so they keep their first-round draft pick. They made that trade with Memphis, the team they will open up with tomorrow, post-All-Star break.
They have a favorable schedule down the stretch. Everybody's writing about it.
Garrett Temple, P. When I went through their schedule and played it out on paper.
Win. But you played it out on paper and you had Atlanta beating the Lakers, and that didn't happen. Well, I mean, you had the Lakers beating Atlanta.
You know what?
And Atlanta beat the Lakers.
That's why they don't play the games on paper. But I was blown away by actually how favorable, like ridiculously favorable, the Clippers schedule is. Of their 10 road games, and again, they will start on the road tomorrow against Memphis, of their 10 road games, only three of them are against playoff teams. So you have the challenge of being on the road, only three of them against teams that are currently in the playoff picture, and one of those road games is a head-to-head against the Lakers. Of their 13 home games, only seven of them are against playoff teams. So they've got 23 games left. 10 of them are against teams that are currently in the playoffs. And again, all they have to do is make sure, as they already have a three-game lead on the Lakers, is to lose three games less than the Lakers, and they will hold on to that eight seed. As for the Lakers, they have got 25 games left. 15 of the 25 are against playoff teams. So it is a dramatically different remaining schedule for these two teams, and the Clips already have three games in hand on the Lakers. Speaking to, because when you hear, you're like, ah, come on, it's LeBron James. He'll turn it on. And
he's got to hit the button.
And I get that. But, man, I did not realize how much it is stacked against them just based on the Clippers taking care of their own business,
Matt,
against a pretty damn favorable schedule.
That's why they needed to beat Atlanta, Matt.
Desperately. And I gave that one to them. I don't know if
you did on paper.
I gave it to them on paper.
Now, there is breaking news considering San Diego. It is official. 48 minutes ago, the Padres tweeted it out. It's official. In gigantic capital letters. LeBron is coming back.
LeBron's coming back in 2020.
Yes, that's official.
And?
Manny Machado has signed. 10-year deal through the 2028 season. Welcome to San Diego, Manny, the tweet says. There it is, Matt.
Now you can go to your team store and get your number 13.
And then next year in brown.
They're gonna double down on you. You're going to have to buy that thing. So think about that, kids. Maybe get the replica T-shirt this year in blue.
Only the Daniel Jeremiah's, the guys that have the big bucks.
Big
cash, big money. Going to get the blue for the whole family and himself, and the brown for the whole, and the camouflage weekend for the whole family and himself.
If it were up to me.
Camouflage military weekend.
And you were... love that. And if you were asking my opinion on what you should invest in, just get the Tony Gwynn. Just go ahead and get the Hall of Fame
on,
player,
Matt.
That's no longer with them, as opposed to the
what about a
player.
Hoffman? Can I get a Trevor Hoffman?
Get a Trevor Hoffman. Absolutely. Hell, get a Gary Templeton. What? Get any of those. I would advise against
Khalil Green.
Done. I would advise against current players.
What about Hosmer?
Again,
are you saying it's a revolving door down there in San Diego and this isn't going to be a dynasty?
I'm saying, you know how the Tony Gwynn career went. You know how the Trevor Hoffman Hall of Fame career went. Both of them Hall of Famers. You're good. You want to roll with those two guys. Dave Winfield, Hall of Famer. You want to get a Brown Padre, Dave Winfield? Get it. I just think maybe you
What if I want to go get a Joe Kelly, a Dodgers Joe Kelly? Is that that's good?
You know, you could rotate it with your Joe Bimel.
Nice! Time for the song of the day. Bimel had a bobblehead.
This is the song of the day.
Bimel got a hand. He got a bobblehead.
He did. Wasn't that post-cut-up hand, too?
It's an awkward time for it to come out.
Legendary British glam rock pioneers T-Rex featuring Mark Bolan provide our song of the day called Groove a Little. as we detour into the technicolored world of a Crunchy Groove Thursday on the Petros and Money Show, where there's a buffet-style spread of crunchy tunes and great sports talk to whet your appetite and get you grooving just a little before we pass it over to David Vasse for an abbreviated spring training Dodger talk with UCLA basketball pregame at 7:30.
Still to come in just a moment to talk about the UCLA hiring, the state of the state in the NBA, the Clippers' schedule remaining against the Lakers, something Matt was just talking about. And will he endorse Mick Cronin, the Bushmills drinking Irish pig, who is the coach of the Cincinnati Bearcats,
speak it into existence,
to be the next UCLA coach? Hey, it's not that ridiculous of a notion.
Not saying it is.
It's not like hiring Nick Cronin.
Nick Ronin.
Totally different. We'll be right back with more PMS. Don McLean will be along in a moment.
Petros and Money on AM 570 LA Sports. Keep listening. Today is the last day. This giveaway will be the last spot aboard the spring baseball flyaway to Arizona. Airfare, hotel accommodations, and tickets to the game, Southwest Airlines. Low fares, no hidden fees. That's transparency. Official rules and details at AM570LASports.com. We will give away that last trip. Two seats. You and someone else going to make that trip. And we will do it between now and 7 p.m. So keep on listening for the cue to call. You could make the trip out there to watch yourself some baseball. And we got our first spring training game on Saturday, Dodgers v. White Sox, heard right here on your home of the Dodgers, AM 570 LA Sports.
And it's important to podcast this show because a lot of you get the show that way. We like it if you stream it live on the iHeartRadio app. And we are in the process of cleaning up the PMS podcast to where it's a lot easier to access. But a lot of you have found it anyway. So am570lasports.com/PMS or the iHeartRadio app for your smartphone and many other platforms. The podcast is there. Kevin Figures, Tim Cates, Ronnie Fascio, Matt, not this Matt, the other Matt. They all
social
make sure.
Matt.
Social Matt. But joining us right now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, who will be the new UCLA basketball coach? The guy I like is up three on UCF right now on the Evil Four Letter, Mick Cronin of Cincinnati. 21-4. Look at that record, Matt.
10-2 in conference.
In the AAC, it is the leading.
Are they ranked?
No. The leading scorer in the history
of the that's not cool.
Pac-12 conference, who does not have a ranked team either. He is a worker for the Pac-12 network. He works for the Clippers. He works for CAA, and he is the proprietor of the Conejo Valley Basketball Club. There's only one pro basketball player in the history of Ventura County, and you're listening to him, Don McLean. The next ass he kisses will be the first on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline, our best friend. Hello, Don.
Should we kick things off, P, by celebrating my triumphant return to the Palouse yesterday for the first time in 9 years?
Well, let's talk about it, Don, because you came on with a harrowing travel story, but a story that revealed virtue and greatness. That you were able to persevere and drive all the way home instead of stay up all night in Oakland. Yeah. You drove all the way home and made it back like a G in a rental car. First, we never got to figure out what kind of rental car it was.
It was a Nissan Rogue.
Nice.
So like a small SUV?
Roguish move.
Yes. Small SUV, and if you literally hit the gas too hard, the RPMs goes to like 20.
A little four banger.
All right, so now you had a rough trip to Corvallis, and then you just came back from the Palouse. Can you pontificate on those?
This Palouse trip went much better in terms of air travel, and I was gripping for the couple days leading up to it because it was supposed to snow and like really snow. And so I actually changed. I usually go in day of. I went in Tuesday night to Spokane and stayed there. And it wasn't snowing. And then it didn't snow the next day, but it said it was still snowing in Pullman. So all day I'm freaking out that I'm going to have to drive after the game from Pullman to Spokane, which is about an hour 25 if there's no traffic or any weather or anything. And so as the day went on, it kept saying there was snow, and then it just disappeared. So I'm like, sweet, man. So I finish the game, I get in the car, and what do I run smack dab into, you two? You guys got to guess.
I'll go blizzard.
No?
Hail?
It wasn't snowing.
Rain?
Fog. Which is even worse. For about 30 miles,
on
going 25 miles an hour.
Ooh. Through Colfax.
And you got to make a flight.
No. I was just going back.
Okay.
My flight was this morning.
Yeah, but you got to make your reservation at Gibson's.
Yeah, who wants to spend an extra 45 minutes on Highway 195 in the middle of nowhere?
I'm going to go with nobody.
Well, welcome back, Don. Do you like
Thank you.
Mick Cronin to UCLA call? I mean, wouldn't he be like a Ben Howland type, toughen these dudes up?
Yeah, I mean, Cincinnati's arguably the toughest team in the country year in and year out.
Yeah.
Physically. You know, there's a lot of guys that I think you could make an argument that would be a good fit at UCLA because everybody plays a different way. And
that's a polite way to say no, you don't like it.
You don't like it, Don?
You don't like it.
It's not that I don't like it. I just don't think he's the right guy. But he's done enough that he would probably be in the – listen, if UCLA hired Steve Alford, then they certainly could hire Mick Cronin. I'll put it to you that way.
That's not very encouraging.
He's better than Alford.
he's another Steve. Who do you like,
Alford's
Don?
Alford's teams aren't tough.
Is there anybody out there that you do like that you're hearing about?
Patino.
You know, I've heard Tony Bennett's name. I've known Tony for a long time. He does a great job, obviously. He's got Virginia back relevant year after year for a while now. I think he could do the job. But like I said, there's a handful or more of candidates that you could make an argument for that would be a good fit at UCLA.
What about Steelen Tinkle from Oregon State?
That'd be Wayne Tinkle.
Yeah, Steelen Tinkle.
Who?
Stealing him.
He said to steal Wayne Tinkle.
Oh, stealing Tinkle. I love Wayne. And I think he'd do a good job. You know, he hasn't recruited the same players that UCLA recruits, but that doesn't mean that he can't. I mean, it's a tough one, guys, and I don't want to spend the whole segment here talking about, you know,
who they should hire
because there's so many layers to that and who they actually can get and who they can actually call and who's going to pick up the phone. So it's not just they can hire anybody they want. It's not like that, and that's why it's hard to say, like, who they should get.
Well, I just wanted you not to crap on Mick Cronin, and you did.
He don't like it.
And he did.
Oh, I love Mick Cronin.
He loves him as a guy, just not as the UCLA head coach.
Don't put words in McClain's mouth.
That's what he's saying. Is it a desirable job, Don? I mean, is the buzz out there that this is going to be something that a lot of guys are interested in?
Cronin!
I think it is because it's UCLA. I think it's a tough job. It's a tough job from the sense that there's so much expectation. And are those expectations still realistic? You know, it's been a long time since UCLA was a national powerhouse. And so, but the expectations are still there to be one. Do you operate like a big time program? Do you have the resources that a big time program like a Kentucky, Kansas, Duke has?
No.
I'm not sure. I'm just thinking out loud that if all those things are in place, then you can get, you know, you can make calls to guys that maybe you couldn't make 5 or 6 years ago when you hired Steve Alford.
Right, like they hired Chip Kelly, and they wouldn't have been able to make that hire if things didn't change.
Exactly what I'm saying.
The great Don McClain is our guest. We're talking about college basketball first, then we'll get into the pros a little bit. Don, we were just trying to figure out, you know, what the West Coast has going this year as March is rapidly approaching. You've been working hard in college basketball for months. But, I mean, Washington is good. Gonzaga is Gonzaga. Nevada is good. The Eaters have 22 wins. San Diego State is okay. I mean, are we missing anything? I mean, USC is underachieved grossly. UCLA's fired their coach.
Yeah, it's a down year, and I think the Pac-12 is, you know, the leader of West Coast basketball, or it should be, and it's just down this year. And a lot of people say it cycles, and I think it does to a certain degree. But it's really weird that it's so down this year, like across the board, except for Washington. And Mike Hopkins has done a great job in year two, but he's got a bunch of veteran players. He's got 3 4-year guys starting, which is unheard of in college basketball anymore, and that's why they're leading the Pac-12 so easily. But after that, I mean, everyone struggled. There is no clear-cut second place or third place team in the league, and it's just kind of weird how it all culminated in this 1 year. But then you trickle down to the WCC and the Mountain West, and it's kind of like that there. There's one pretty good team, and then there's just the rest of them. Irvine in the Big West, same thing. And so I'm not sure what the answer to that is or why it is, but it is certainly the case. And I think if you're a West Coast hoops guy like I am, you're hoping that somebody gets hot like Gonzaga or Washington and makes a deep run in the NCAA tournament once they get there.
Don, do you think Zion Williamson plays another game for Duke?
You know, it's funny. My son asked me that earlier, and I guess my answer would be, if I had anything to say about it, no, but why do I think he will?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because like, basketball players play basketball?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I would tell him, no, you got bigger, more important things to worry about other than 1 year at Duke. But I just have this weird feeling that because Duke is so good this year, that he's going to get talked into playing to try and win that national championship.
I thought that was supposed to be, and just tell me I'm an idiot for saying this, Don, but like these three guys, Reddish, Barrett, and Zion, were supposed to be the best freshman class Coach K has ever had. And the second that Zion goes down, those other two dudes just look pretty average. And they're getting blown off the court by North Carolina. Is that a mischaracterization of their talent level?
No, I think emotionally that's a huge blow. I mean, look, Zion Williamson, and you guys, I was thinking about this, and I couldn't come up with anything other than he's the most popular college basketball player maybe since Kevin Durant. And so if he's on your team and he goes down in the first minute of the game, that's an emotional blow to your team. I don't care how good the rest of the team is. You lose that guy in the first minute, you're probably not going to win the game. I mean, you see examples of it all the time where a team loses their best player. Well, Duke lost this guy that's like a national celebrity already in three quarters of a year of college basketball. So I think that was just an emotional letdown in a rivalry game. I don't think it really speaks to Reddish and Barrett's talent level. I think it just speaks to, you know, their inexperience and maybe their youth and not being able to overcome a big blow like Williamson going down.
And a congratulations to Kyle McClain, Don's oldest son, for being one of the leading scorers in the Marmonte League at Westlake High, despite a wrist injury and I believe a surgery right in the middle of the season. Am I correct in saying that, Don, averaging 20 over 20 points a game?
Yeah, he made the last six games, I believe, of the season. He broke it the first game of the non-conference season back in November, had surgery, got a plate put in there. And he seems to be fine now. But, yeah, he recovered and got caught the last part of the league season, which is good.
McClain's scoring it well once again. Now, Don, LeBron's going to push the button. Matt just talked about it.
He has activated intensity mode.
Super Saiyan.
I believe is the way he described it.
I saw it.
Yeah, so?
I saw that.
Yeah, so what's up?
It's activated. Now what?
He's going to be on fire, like the video game.
Well, if it's normal, then we've seen that play out before. You know, what's amazing to me about LeBron James is that he's in year 16, right? That he can say that, and I bet you we'll see it in year 16, that he's gonna flip the switch and start dominating games. The question's going to be, can he do it for 25 games and do enough for them to win enough to get into the playoffs? That's the question.
That was we just brought that up, Don, in the last segment, and I did not realize the difference in the schedules between the Clippers and the Lakers. The Lakers play playoff teams 15 of their 25. The Clips play 10 of their 23 against teams currently in the playoffs. And the Lakers have 9 games against teams in the top 4. So not just borderline playoff teams. Is this tougher than maybe a lot of us are making it out to be because we just kind of go back to the old, you know, well, it's LeBron James, and he's going to activate the intensity mode, and they're going to make the playoffs. This looks like it could be pretty damn tough.
Well, you have to think of the other side, and I know Laker fans only want to think about the Lakers, but think about what the other teams are playing for. They're not just going to lay down to LeBron and the Lakers. They're playing for seeding or trying to get in the playoffs like the Clippers are. And so as great as LeBron has been, and I'm sure as great as we'll watch here the next month and a half, like, it ain't just – teams aren't just going to roll over for him either. So, yeah, it is going to be hard for the Lakers to make the playoffs because everybody wants to make the playoffs. Obviously, it's so tight in the West, and everybody's playing for something that you're not getting any nights off. I think on the other side of that, Matt, that was what was so impressive about what the Clippers did the first half of the year is they played a really hard schedule with a lot of games on the road, and they were – you know, they're still in the playoffs. So – we'll see if they can hang on and stay in the playoff hunt and in playoffs, I guess. But, you know, it speaks to their schedule was harder earlier. Now it lightens up a little bit.
You think those young guys are going to not be all butthurt? Do you think the All-Star break and a trip to Cabo or whatever is going to take the weenie right out of those guys?
Out of the Clippers?
No, the Laker young dudes.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. What'll be interesting is this. So he's announced that he's flipping the switch. What does that mean for those young guys? Does that mean they're not getting as many shots? Does that mean they're getting more shots? Does that mean that the ball's not in their hands? Like, is Lonzo Ball not going to touch the ball the whole game now because LeBron's got it? That's what's going to be fascinating to watch for me because of the interruption of LeBron being hurt earlier in the year. They didn't fall into a groove of how to play with LeBron. I think they're still figuring that out. And now, based on what LeBron says, you're going to get an even different LeBron here the last 25 games. So it's going to be interesting to see how those young guys react to it and adapt to it.
I know normally I sincerely mean this when I ask it, Don. Normally this is a stupid question with 25 games to go. But considering all that was said, that LeBron has announced he has activated intensity mode, that they are three games back of the Clippers, who start their post-All-Star game break with the Memphis Grizzlies, one of the worst teams in basketball. The Lakers are not favored tonight against the Houston Rockets, who are one of the better teams in basketball, and I believe a 5 seed right now. Is this like borderline must win for the Lakers? If they lose tonight, the Clippers win. They're now four back of the Clippers with 24 games to go.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a must win, but I think if you're gonna use that and look at the schedule and see who they play and all that, it's kind of like they're all must wins, really, because you have to win. Not only do you have to go on a winning streak, you have to get some help from other teams, and that's kind of what I was saying earlier. It's like teams aren't going to lose in front of you, so not only do you have to win, you have to hope that other teams lose. And so there is no nights off. Like, you're not going to see the Oklahoma City Thunder go on a 5-game losing streak right now because they know that they can't or they'll be out of the playoffs. And so I think the Lakers' approach, Matt, needs to be, we got to win our home games for sure, and then we got to steal some on the road.
Fresh off conquering the Palouse, conquering Oregon like Lewis and Clark, and conquering Oakland like Jack London, Don McLean on the show. Didn't
Dude, really... I forgot to tell you.
What?
Part of the festivities of me returning to Beasley Coliseum in Friel Court last night was Butch, the Cougar mascot, gave me a gift package for my return trip 9 years later.
What did he get you?
In it. Which I'm going to gift to you. There's a bunch of stuff in it. It was a tin of cheese, which apparently is famous cheese.
The
Coug
cheese.
No,
the Coug cheese is off the chain.
Yeah.
My sister gets it delivered.
Coug cheese. But also,
it's
in
big
that
deal.
Gift package was a Weekend at Ernie's T-shirt, which I am going to gift to you when
thank
I see you.
You
next.
Yes, Ernie Kent.
Good stuff.
Ernie Kent, the head coach. Thank you, Don.
Good head of hair on that, Ernie.
Better than Mick Cronin.
A little bit.
All right, Don.
Thank you, Don.
Yep, see you guys.
Back. There he goes, Don McLean. Lance Romance is coming up next. We will promote that.
Zion was wearing Adidas shoes when they had that blowout.
I think they planted
that whole game.
I think they planted explosives in the shoes to cause this conversation.
Roy Williams, man, plays dirty. Plays dirty. Blow that soul out.
I think somebody doctored the shoes like Brady with the ball. Two Nigerian dudes. Swole, though. Hey,
super
you
got to
say that. You got to say that about those two Nigerian guys.
Swole.
They are so beyond swole. Like, the shorter Nigerian guy is even swoller than the bigger Nigerian guy. Those are the two swolest dudes.
I thought it was Christian Okoye. So swole.
I mean, really. Okoye probably knows those guys. Hey!
They were hammer throwers. It's the Pacific.
Those guys were, I recruited those guys.
Damn right.
They ended up in Redlands, but
it happens. Thank you, Don McLean.
I would have two Nigerian guys coach UCLA basketball.
Intensity
toughen them up.
Mode activated.
That would activate it.
LeBron James.
That's a good point by Don McLean. All right. So, Kuzer here, Bron. Yeah, what do you want, Kuzer? Now that intensity mode's been activated, you still want me to, like, what?
What am I supposed to do?
But you just get out of the way?
Do we just watch you?
I just cruise to the corner?
How does it go?
Hey, how about you box out? Okay.
Set me screens.
I'll be boxing out. I'll be setting screens.
Pass me the ball.
Intensity mode activated. All right.
Whatever. We're the two Nigerian dudes show of record.
Big thank you to Don McLean off the Palouse with a tin of cheese and a Weekend at Ernie's t-shirt. And a reminder, speaking of Don McLean, UCLA home game tonight, Air Oregon State, 8 p.m. tip-off, pregame at 7:30. That means David Vasse with Dodger Talk tonight at 7 p.m. Lance Romance. Very next segment, prizes for those who participate. 866-997-2570 to get on with Lance. And then Tracy Murray at the bottom of the hour to continue our conversation. Maybe he will support, although I'm guessing he probably would not.
No, he's going to be
to weigh in.
He's going to say, hey, anybody, Earl. We like. He's going to say Earl.
He's going to say Earl?
Not the Duke of Earl. Earl Watson.
Oh, right.
He's going to say Earl.
Yeah, a lot of people pushing Earl.
Right, he's going to be a UCLA Earl.
I was just going to say he was probably going to sit it out. Say, Derek, hey, look, Martin, you know,
he was pushing Earl last time.
I'm good. Yeah, I guess that's true.
We'll see what he says now.
Not part of Cates'.
Mick Cronin, he's coaching his ass off right now in the AAC.
He's not in Cates' top three. No Earl Watson in Cates' coaching carousel that will make its return tonight on Bruin Talk somewhere around 2 a.m.
But you can call right now for Lance Romance in a matter of moments, 866-9872-570. Tracy Murray still to come. And three things Thursday on the league and the dudes in the league, specifically the Chargers, as Matt Money Smith is the voice of Les Bolts. All right. Lance Romance is going to join us next. 866-987-2570.
It's pretty crunchy.
I do have an update about the two Nigerian dudes from a listener that knows them. Not kidding.
Out to Chicago. Dateline. Yeah. Chicago.
I played football with the two Nigerian dudes at Quincy University in Illinois. Money should know the school.
Small school.
Both were swole, but it was all show, no go.
Oh, really?
Both these dudes were sub 5'6", 2". D2 football for life.
Popcorn muscles?
And he did send it out. Number 45, Abimbola Osundario. That's one of the brothers. He's 5'10", 180. That's the swole one. That's the big one.
5'10".
5'10 is the biggest one. He's,
looks like he's 6'4 in the
he's
photo.
He's as tall as Matt. The other one, 5'7".
Yeah, I'm like 5'10 and a third.
196. 5'7", 196 for the other one.
I'm wearing my Hokas. Might be 5'11 today. I'm wearing Vans. I'm 5'10".
Somebody was calling out your Hokas the other day.
Those things are great. Don't you be calling out my Hoka.
It wasn't me. It was one of the texters.
Listen, I'll take a lot of S in these parts.
They were saying,
what maybe
kind of like a comparison that would work for us, kind of like the hydraulic dip machine, Romad. The guy just said, just tell him to buy a pair of Brooks and get on his treadmill, something like that. It sounded like a real runner snob kind
it
of
is.
Text.
The old school folks like the Brooks and the Asics, they feel like these Altas and the
for
Hokas
runners,
are runner come late, or Johnny come lately.
Runner shoe conversation.
Yeah. The Hoka's very posh ride.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
The other brother, Ola Binjo Osundario.
Knocked it out on that one.
I got it, yeah. 5'7". Under 200. 196. That's like Jacquizz Rodgers.
I mean, 5'7 and 200 pounds, that's thick.
Swole. Those Nigerian brothers are the two swolest dudes. Maybe they look like steak, play like chicken, according to the Textosa where they did at Quincy College.
I mean, D2. Forever.
But you know what? They weren't hired to really beat the dude up. They were hired to kind of act like him, allegedly.
I'm just talking football here, man.
Well, obviously, they took those skills to the streets of Chicago, Matt.
Not really. Not really.
It kind of did. Looking athletic. All right, we'll be right back with your calls for Lance Romance, 866-9872-57. Worst case scenario, best case scenario, right here.